Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on joy in the midst of trials. Joy in the midst of trials. Thank you, Father. Let's turn over to James, the book of James, chapter 1. And let's begin reading at the first verse. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's good news. And I'm just going to just start from verse 4, because if we go review, we'll be here again. And there's so much in there. I'd love it. Every trial has purpose. Yes. Every hardship has an objective, an aim, a goal, a God-given design. Every trial is a designer trial, designed by God Almighty. Every single one for his children. That's good news. That's comforting news. You're not just going through just to go through like the world. Mm-hmm. There's a design to that. And thank God that is. And that design is one to test your faith, which we need to know whether or not how good our faith is. Mm-hmm. We need to know, do I trust him explicitly? Do I love him so completely and so comprehensively and so totally and so vibrantly and maybe even so viciously, if you will, that my love for the closest human being on the earth, who I'm the closest to, when I compare my love to that human being to my love for this, for my Lord Jesus, it looks like hate. Now, I don't think we're there, because that's what Jesus said in Luke 14:25-26. If any man wants to come after me, man or woman, boy or girl, child, come after me, they must first hate mother, father, sister, brother, wife, children, even their own self. Remember, hate is comparative. When you compare our love for Jesus, and Jesus is saying your love for me must be so vibrant, must be so comprehensive, so complete, and using the words even violent, that when you compare your love for me to your love to your closest, because he named all your closest relationships, mother, father, sister, brother, wife, children, even your own self, even love for your own self is to look like hate when it comes, because your love for him is so over the top. Mm-hmm. Lord God, help us to get there.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to get there. Amen. Look at verse. We were talking about your faith is being tested. Somebody needs to put their phone on vibrate, please. Amen. Our faith is being tested. We want our faith tested. We want to know that we trust him, that we love him. And so the Lord God sends troubles, hardships, trials. They test us. And when we stand in there on his word, when we stand in there, we stay in there. That's what he said, let endurance have its perfect result. Don't try to get out of it. don't try to run away from it prematurely. Let it, the trial, do its work all the way through. Mm-hmm. One translator says, make sure that your endurance carries you all the way without failing. Mm-hmm. Make sure that your ability to endure does not stop, does not become weak. Why? So that, verse 4, the purpose, so that you may be perfect, which means spiritually mature. Thank you, Lord, is right, Glenda Jane the Queen. Because I wants to grow. Amen. Excuse my ghetto, but I wants to grow. Amen. I don't want to be satisfied nor content with where I am. And I made strides. I thank God. I'm not where I'm used to be just 5 years, 2 years. Maybe even, matter of fact, before May 25th, I'm not the same. But I'm still not to be satisfied. You don't hang your hat on, wow, look where I am today. You don't hang your hat on that. You hang your hat on, I got a lot more growing to do. I'm thankful and I'm grateful. Yes, Miss Phyllis, see, hand uplifted. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not where I used to be. And I would say even Christmas, New Year's Eve, I'm different. I've grown much bench pressing, my brother, nephew. Much bench pressing. Yes. But when you have been given the assignment to carry the burden of someone else, bear you one another's burdens, boy, that is an assignment. Yes, it is. That is an assignment. Oh, my Lord and my God. But I tell you what I told the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm bench pressing. Told him last night, I said, you have strengthened me in these 2 weeks of heavy burdens. I thank God. But even then, even though it's obvious, I'm still not to rest.
That's right.
I'm still not to rest in the fact that I'm good. No, we're still growing. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. Desire the pure, sincere, legitimate, unadulterated milk of the word that you may grow thereby. There's always growing. You never stop growing while you're living on this earth. So trials lends itself to that. It helps me, you and I, us, to grow that we may be perfect, means spiritual maturity. To be spiritually mature. And that means, the note here is to become a man or woman fully matured with all adult faculties and capabilities and strengths, spiritually speaking. We'll read that again. Spiritual, because you hear about spiritual maturity all the time. What does that really mean? Well, what does it mean to be spiritually mature as an adult on the physical, natural side? Yeah, it means fully mature with all adult faculties, capabilities, and strength to become a man or a woman. And we're not talking about males and females. A man or a woman is one who has grown with fully matured with all adult faculties and capabilities and strength. That's why as you grow from these trials, the Lord God can send people to you, or trials and tribulations can happen to you and you don't fall apart and you don't run from God, and you're able, even in the midst of your trial, to still help somebody else. This is Jesus. It was a mighty example for us when his cousin was brutally murdered, unjustly. Head chopped off. He was beheaded. And the word got to Jesus. And when you hear news like that, you want to like go off and be by yourself. Let me just process this. What's going on here? And as I remember the order, I think at the bottom of that base of that mountain, there was like 400 folks down there where he, 4,000 rather, where he fed them, I believe. And he couldn't just be off by himself. Well, when that happens, does not God strengthen you to do that assignment? It may seem unfair to us in the natural. Hey, why not give me a couple of days? Let me process this. My cousin's been killed. We're 6 months apart. Very close. My cousin was my forerunner. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way. And not for my cousin, but the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. That wasn't cuz. Oh, that would preach. Hallelujah. Excuse me, got a little rock going, Miss Phyllis. Careful now. Oh, boy. Order's order. It's not about family. Oh, spiritual come before. That's what we're talking about on Wednesday. It's not about family. Amen. It's who we are spiritually. Amen. But we need to be spiritually mature. But not only that, and complete. So spiritually mature, and complete. Holokleros is a Greek word. We get our word hologram from. Meaning when you walk around a hologram, it's all there. It appears to be all there. Top, bottom, sides. It's amazing how you can see that image in 3D. Means no parts missing. Holokleron means complete in all its parts. Well developed. Now look at here. How many who are real genuine children of God, who really love the Lord, who are really saved, how many really want to be spiritually mature? The real ones do. How many really want to be all parts whole, complete in every way? I want that. I get tired of me. Failings and shortcomings in thought, word, and deed. These are designed to grow us up and to make us complete in all its parts, well developed. And then the other part of that is lacking in nothing, which is just a further explanation of being complete. Lacking in nothing means not deficient in any way. In no part lacking or unsound. Well, if you are not deficient in any way, and if you are in no part lacking or unsound, then you are what the word right before it is. You are complete, entire, and whole. So all of this is progression. Trials come. Your faith is being tested, and you understand that, so you don't get out of it. You stay up under it. You endure it, and when you do, you grow. You're more sound. You're more complete. There's less lacking. And you go through the next trial. You go through it. You become out. You're more grown some more. Therefore, you are more complete. And there's even less lacking. Can you see the process? That's what's happening. That's what's happening. Go through the trial. You grow. You're more complete. Less lacking. It's a process. Now, as human beings, finite, carnal, we would have picked a different methodology. Our methods would have been different. But we're not God. And we don't understand how things work. But God does. And he knows that hardships make us focus, at least those who learn, who are growing in Christ Jesus. There are some hardships that people just fall apart. They walk away from God. They're done. Well, then, if that's the case, then they never were of God. But those who are in Christ Jesus, hardships, you're able to go through that process. And that's why he's saying to us, don't try to get out of it prematurely. Don't walk away from it. Stay up under it because I'm doing something. And not only that, you know exactly what I'm doing. I am testing your faith. I am growing you up spiritually. And I'm making you more whole, more sound, and complete, and well-developed. I'm developing you. Because we all have a lot. There are a lot of parts of us that are deficient. They're lacking. They're unsound. And these trials are filling in those things, piece by piece, step by step. By the way, The word lacking in nothing also means falling short of a standard. See, so if you are complete in all your parts and you're well developed, then that means you're not falling short of the standard of God's holiness. See, that's progress. You're more and more coming up to the standard that the Lord God has put forth for us. And that's why you never compare yourself with anyone else. Because a person's standard, you know, you may be better than most. But that's not the Apostle Paul spoke about us. If we compare ourselves by ourselves, amongst ourselves, we are not wise. Our comparison is to be to the Word of God, the standard of the Lord God. Mm-hmm. And in there, if we do that, you see we're falling far short. Mm-hmm. But we ought to be getting better. There ought to be obvious. You should be able to say today, I am keeping more of His Word today than I did yesterday. Or I'm keeping more of His Word during this period in my life than a year ago. That should be obvious. Because if that's not obvious, then there's a problem. That's a big red flag. The word lacking also means people of integrity with no weak spots. Lord, help us to get there. Help us to get there. Here's some other lacking nothing. Means a balanced character that will fall short of nothing. I love that. Those who are complete and will not fail in any way. And lastly, those who are complete and not deficient in any way. All of those mean lacking in nothing. There's other ways of saying that. One last thing concerning lacking in nothing. That phrase, as one commentator says, it's best taken as an added explanation to the quality of being complete, not another quality to be attained. It's just a further explanation of complete, lacking nothing. They both are of the same thing. Does that make sense? All right. So, having said that, going through trials, we've gone over it, tests your faith, produces endurance, which causes you to grow spiritually and become more sound and whole and not deficient in any way. Mm-hmm. That's the end, if you will, or the result or the outcome of trials. Full, total, complete spiritual maturity with no deficiency. That's the ultimate aim of all trials. Mm-hmm. Father God, help us to get this. Help us to get this. Help us to get this. It's natural. That's a good way of saying it too, because it's not supernatural. It's natural for us when troubles hit to get out of the trouble, the pain, the anguish. It's natural. But don't let that natural override your supernatural. Let the Holy Spirit tell you, hey, this is going to be a minute. Stand in there. I got you. Then you stand on those promises, but you got to know the promises to stand on. Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of those promises? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. My grace is sufficient. Yes. It's enough.
Yes,
it's enough.
Yes,
when I'm weak, when I'm weak in my strength, in my skills, in my understanding, then I'm strong in your strength, in your skill, in your understanding. You stand on those things. I'm not alone. Greater, stronger, mightier, that's a comparator, is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have the stronger one in me. I can do the... all things through Christ. I can do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Through Christ.
Amen.
I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Amen.
I can do this, and you will not suffer or allow me to be tempted, tested, or tried beyond my ability to bear up under this thing.
That's right.
You don't make mistakes because you are faithful.
Yes, thank
you. You cannot lie. And you will make a way of escape. You will make a way for me to drop down into a respite, a foxhole, and just get a little break from the situation when it gets just too much. You know just when to give a little bit of a break. Glory be to God. And then I climb back out the foxhole, stand the post, and continue fighting. Glory be to God. Until my change come. Oh, somebody better watch themselves up in here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because changes are coming. Changes are coming, hallelujah. Well, what's the change? He said, you're growing spiritually. You're becoming more mature. Your faith is stronger. You're becoming more whole, more sound, less deficient. That's the change that's coming. Real change. Real change. The only change that matters. To be honest with you, other stuff is just rubbish, just by the side. It's cool to have your bills paid. I thank God mine are paid. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I tell you what, that pales in comparison to be able to bench press 900 pounds because the Lord is saying, I need you to pray for this group or pray for this couple, pray for this person until their change comes. I need you to stand in the gap. I need you to intercede for them and you stay there until I finish what I'm doing. Yeah. You got to stand in there, man. You stand in that gap for them. Somebody still for you.
Yeah.
Somebody had your own name, man. And they took the time to pray. Oh, I'm so glad they prayed. Oh, they took the time to pray for me. Thank you, Jesus. The prayers of a righteous man avails much. Oh, stay in prayer. Yeah, Miss April and the crew, boy, they be praying up a storm. Miss Palmer, Sister Rolanda, Miss Cheryl when she there, Miss Darlene, and all, if I miss somebody, you know, whoever, I'll be up in there praying. And then we just don't pray on Wednesdays and Sundays and so forth. We praying all every day, all this, a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer is all constant. And when you're standing in the gap, you're even praying even more. Oh, oh boy. Thank you, Jesus. So the end result of trials is full, complete maturity with no deficiencies. Lord God, help us to stand up under these trials until we reach complete spiritual maturity with no deficiencies. In Jesus' name. Doesn't that sound a lot like 1 Peter chapter 5? Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. It sounds a lot like 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Speaking about the end result, the outcome, the issue, the ultimate reason, the objective. Look at 1 Peter 5 and 10. After you have suffered a while, the God of all grace, not just grace, but all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. How this lot there to just shout all over again. I mean, the organist and gym shoes going to get an absolute workout. Because you can just say, have you suffered a while? After, the word after, you can just hit the organ and shout and run around the church. Just for after, amen?
Yeah.
You have suffered a little while. The God of all grace, they go to organ and the gym shoes running around again. Who called you to his eternal glory in Christ? There's a shouting material again. Thank God he called us. He didn't have to call us. But he called us to his eternal glory. Oh, ultimate for them time to sing a little bit. Watch yourself up in here. He called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus. Will himself personally. When you put himself in this, emphatic to let you know God himself personally is going to do this.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And what is he going to do himself personally? Perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you.
Hallelujah.
There's that word again, perfect, to complete, to equip. In other words, to supply what is necessary to make one what they ought to be.
Oh, glory.
Oh, that would preach right there now. Oh, because we ain't what we ought to be. And don't you ever think you are. Hallelujah. Because when you think you are what you ought to be, at that moment, you're in danger thinking like that. Because the standard is so high. It's so high. And we're so low. We're so far from that standard. But he is so gracious because he's the God of all grace. And so every little baby step we take toward it, he's all right with it. Yes. Isn't that something? Like your 3-year-old draw you a scribbly, skilly picture and this skilly doo wop Scooby Doo, you know, and throw it at you. You go frame it. Put stars around it. Go hire an electrician to put a special spotlight on it. It just squiggly lines to other folk. But to you, that's my child's drawing. That's God to us. That comes from God. He said that they messy, but you know, they took a step forward. They took a step, but they still in the mud, but at least they're getting closer to the dry ground. He is just so gracious. He is just so merciful. He is so loving. He is so kind. We just messy, stinky, nasty. And yet he just, that's my son. That's my daughter. He just patting us, rubbing our backs, still teaching us. And we treat him like dirt at times. The God of all grace. He said he will perfect you. He'll supply what is necessary to make you what you ought to be. Not only word, this word speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit. As this commentary says, in rounding out the spiritual life of the saint so that they are equipped for both the living of a Christian life and the service of and to the Lord Jesus. So it's, see, there's that wholeness to power to walk right, to live right before others, live a righteous life, and the power to serve God and to serve other people. That's just perfect. Confirm means to make stable, because we get a little rocky. Things start happening. We get to blow over like, hey, calm down. It's all good. God is here. He got you. But if you don't know God, you people been in church 20 years that don't know nothing about God. Because the preacher won't take the doggone time to teach them. One, that's one problem. The other is if he is teaching them, they're not taking the time to learn. They're not hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying the word of God. So you can't keep it. You're just there. If you're hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying the word of God, you're going to find out who this God is, because he's the God of the Bible. His self-revelation to us concerning him. So if you're talking about making you stable, then when things start going, looking real unsteady, like it did from May 25th on, and the pandemic too, March 13th on down, and then you throw in there the ethnic unrest, people got very unstable. I mean, they walking around like they drunk. You know, or they walking around like they're on a tightrope. Like, wow, hey, God, hey, steady yourself. I didn't fall off the throne.
That's right.
Did I not know that craziness was going to happen in 2020? I most certainly did.
Absolutely.
And did I not know that 2021 was going to kick off with a bang with some crazies running up into the Capitol with guns? Did I not know that? Yes. Keep remembering. I know I got to say 6 feet away. Keep remembering God, G-A-W-T, God knows everything.
Amen.
Nothing surprises him.
Yes.
Please keep remembering that.
Amen.
Just because you're thrown, or I'm thrown, or we as human beings are thrown, please remember God is cool, calm, steady, and collected. Please remember that. It's all good because God is in control.
That's right.
And that God who is stable and firm and sure makes us stable. That's what confirm means, to make stable, to strengthen, to make firm. This word talks about the action of God in keeping believers firm and steady in their faith. That's what starts to waver.
Yeah, yes, it does.
God said, oh, my child is getting a little unsteady. Hey, I'm here. Song will come in the midnight hour. A word out of the blue. Cuz Mo calls, just ain't heard from him in 10 years. Hey, God telling me, man, it's all good. Take your time. I'm here with you. There's another in the fire. You ain't in that fire by yourself. You're not in that water by yourself. There's another standing right next to you. Have a good night. Thank you. He'll get a word to you. Question is, are we listening? We're so unstable and so shook up. When God does speak, we ain't hearing nothing. Here's God confirming us. He's keeping us. The action of God in keeping believers firm and steady in their faith. Because that is what wavers. The word means God's aim in confirming us to make our faith impregnable. Impregnable is just a $10 word that means strong enough to resist or withstand attack. Faith that is not be taken by force. Faith that is unconquerable. Faith that can't be overcome or overthrown. That's what confirmed means. That's a powerful faith. We'll never get to that level of faith ever apart from hardship. We won't get there. Then he's that just perfect and confirm. How about strengthen? Strengthen denotes the idea of God making someone more able or capable to bear all their suffering without wavering in their faith. Wow. Make them more able and more capable to bear all their suffering without wavering in their faith. Notice we're going back to faith. The devil, when he comes at you, he's coming at your faith. I got to get you to stop trusting God. That's what I'm on. Do y'all understand that? That's what he's attacking. I want you to not trust God. Trust anyone, anything else but God. Trust yourself. Trust your friends. Trust the drink, the girl, the boy, the money, the job, family, friends. Just trust anything else but God. That's what Jesus told Peter. He said, Peter, not only will you not, whatever you're talking about, but you're going to deny me 3 times. Because Satan desires to have you and to sift you as wheat. And wheat, as I've said many a time, there's a shaking, violent shaking to separate the husk from the wheat kernel. And when you shake it and then you throw it up in the air to land back on this like a big screen thingy. No, that's not proper, but screen thingy. And when you throw it up in the air, the husks are blown away. Wheat kernels land back on the screen. But in order to get that separation, it must be a violent shaking. And I believe, won't be dogmatic about it, but I believe Jesus was telling Peter, Satan wants to shake the mess out of you. Then we know exactly what he's talking about, because then he says, but I pray for you that your faith fail not. So what does he want to shake out of you? Your faith, your trusting. I need you to stop trusting in God. Faith means to trust in God, believe in God, be fully persuaded, fully confirmed, fully convinced that God is who he is and what he has promised he's able to perform. Faith in his power, his majesty, his dominion, his might, his sovereignty. And I'm praying because I know the root of the attack, that your faith fail not. Your belief and trust in God. The sickness and disease hit. That's what it's about. My nephew, as I told you all earlier, I believe he had lung cancer and it was spreading. He's in prison. And he's getting better care than people who are free. That does not compute. all kind of CT scans and x-rays and blood draws, taking like 15, 20 vials of blood. He told me, hey, I'm not concerned about going home to be with the Lord. This is when we wasn't sure what was gonna happen. He was not feeling the greatest. But he was absolutely confident, and I believe it. He wasn't putting on no show. You don't put on a show during that time. If you fake, then that's gonna tell the real deal. Like, oh Lord, I don't wanna die. Oh Lord, I owe Jesus. He just wasn't no, oh, it was me. Wasn't no Al Jolson. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Wasn't none of that. Like, well, he said, my biggest thing, Wiz, is I'm concerned for my mom. His biggest concern was not that he might die of lung cancer. It's how mom gonna be. You don't get to that apart from knowing him. You don't go nowhere near that. We need strong faith in this crazy world.
Yes, we do.
We're living in the worst time that this world has ever been. Period. Well, how do you know that? Why can you say it with such confidence? Because of 2 Timothy 3:13, that wicked men are going to go from bad to worse. It's worse now. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. We need to have our faith confirmed. We need to be strong, capable to bear all the sufferings without wavering in our faith. And lastly, he'll establish you, which is a solid foundation, a solid foundational position that is so solid that nothing can shake you or cause you to waver in your faith. Your God can so put you on such a foundational position and structure that nothing shakes you. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Speaking of nothing shaking you. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 25. Matthew 7, verse 25. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. And there are some of you here who've shown extraordinary faith, no doubt about it, in your testimonies to me, whether they were personal or to the church as a whole. Powerful, powerful testimonies.
Thank you, Lord, for your
powerful testimonies. There was one person, I won't mention any names, but because I didn't get permission from them, but they let me know they were going through it. And he said, you know what? In the end, though, like we were just taught, in the end, because everything works together for good, then nothing, this is good. Nothing bad is happening. While they were going through it. I mean, really going through it. That's powerful.
Yes, it is.
That's why I thank God that this ministry teaches the way it does. Because there's no way a person can ever make that statement.
Amen.
There's no way they can ever make that statement while in the very midst of it and don't know how it's going to turn out. But because they heard that teaching.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's why I get so exercised when these pastors just sorry. They've turned into doggone politicians. Want to be accepted. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. That's not even Christ-like. You're thinking you're being Christ-like. That's not Christ-like at all. If you read him, he barbecued the Pharisees. Barbecued them. When you were unrepentant and you were self-righteous and self-sufficient and prideful, he let you have it. And he was in God's will when he did it. Matthew 7, 25, we're talking about him establishing you on such a solid foundational position that is so solid that nothing can shake you. This is Matthew 7:25, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it did not fall. Why? It was on a solid foundation, for it had been founded on the rock. That's what God does. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus is right. The rain fell. The floods came. The winds blew. Look at this. And tapped the house. It said, and slammed against the house. Beat the house. And yet it did not fall.
Glory, hallelujah.
Miss Phyllis, see, when my dad died and I saw my mom standing at 38 years young and five children like a stone wall, by the power of God, I've seen God's power work. My dad is suddenly gone.
Yeah.
And what he's done for others, he'll do for you.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
I'm trying to give you some mental, emotional ammunition for when all hell is breaking out in your life.
Amen.
And you don't know if you're going to make it through to tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because the first thing that goes tilt is your mind.
Yes.
And that's got to go back to 2 Timothy 1. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound, balanced, disciplined mind, controlled mind. Because the temptation, when the rain is falling, and I'm talking about that side rain, that diagonal rain,
yeah,
and the floods are coming because it's raining so much, and the winds are blowing and they all are beating and slamming against the house of your life.
Yes, sir.
Lord, let us be in that number that we will not fall, because we know that our faith has been founded on the rock.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if you read up in there earlier, the rock is obedience. Because if you look at the two houses, let's go over right quick. We got two houses, right? Go back up a little earlier. He said, a foolish man, right, built his house on the sand. Rains came, floods, winds blew, house fell, founded on the sand. No firm foundation. Not stable, not firm, not settled. Now, Jesus says, he who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Does not first. You don't do them. You hear them, but you don't do them.
Right.
You're like the person who builds a house on sand.
Right.
If you are, can they close that door? I'm sorry, I kind of hear my, it's weird. It sounds kind of, yeah, they can close that door back there. I'm sorry to interrupt you. So, then he said, if you hear these things of mine and do them, then you get this. You build a house on the rock, and the rains come, floods, winds blow, beat against the house, doesn't fall. Think of the same thing. I like the example that probably the same houses, let's go to the same houses, same architectural design, same building. Maybe in the same location, in a sense, except one was St. Edward's Rock, but even let's go to the same, had the same storms, winds, floods come against it, same kind, same degree. So everything's the same. What's different? One obeyed and one didn't. One obeyed and one didn't. Hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying. How you fully hear biblical. That's biblical hearing. Hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying. That's biblical hearing. Natural hearing is just, I heard it. You spoke it, your vocal cords vibrated, the vibrations came through. It was amazing how we hear like that. And it received and I turn into words when we hear it. That's amazing how God does that. That's just natural physical hearing. Biblical hearing is not just that. I heard you. Like when a husband and wife are arguing. You know, husband said, I heard you. And the wife said, yeah, but you're not listening. Some looked at me like, was you in that room last night, man? What you doing? But that's true. Communication is hearing and listening. Not just hearing. I heard the words. I heard the words came out your mouth. Am I listening? Am I hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying? Obedience puts you in 1 Peter 5:10, where he will confirm you, strengthen you, establish you, and perfect you. Let's go back to James as we get ready to close. Let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 4. Trials are for a reason, amen? And let steadfastness have its full work, that you may be perfect or spiritually mature and complete, lacking in nothing. We'll pick up with this theme next time because I want to put in other words. So verse 4 again is, let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, which means spiritually mature, a spiritual adult, and complete, meaning you are all no parts missing, lacking in nothing, no deficiencies. Now, here's my in other words. In other words, comma, until we are conformed to the image of Christ. Does that fit? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what's happening. Until we are conformed to the image of Christ Jesus our Lord, or say it another way, or until Christ is formed in us. That's what this is all about. And I love that the Lord God has it so plain right in front of us. It's not a mystery. Well, what is this all about? This is what it's all about. It's to get us to be conformed to his image. Until Christ is formed in us. That's what it's all about. Because when we get to that state, or that station, or that existence of being, if you will, then he is getting maximum praise, glory, and honor for us, which that is ultimately what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Christ being formed in us is not the end. The end is so that he gets the glory. Mm-hmm. And we'll pick up with that next time. Glory be to God. Father, I'm praying with Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says, my children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. I'm praying that you get us in that state, to that state, that Christ is formed in us. That's the aim, the goal, the objective of all of your working in us. Because you have begun a good work. He who began a good work, it's a good work because the completion of it is Christ being formed in us and we being conformed to his image. That's the aim of the good work. That's the completion of the good work. We're thankful that you're faithful to complete the work. Mm-hmm. Thank you that you've begun a work in us, a good work, and that you're faithful to complete it. And you promise that you will complete that work.
Thank you.
That is such a pillow promise to rest my head, because we just sometimes we shake our heads at ourselves and like, wow, you're still working on me and I can't believe you are. I think you've never left us.
Thank you, Lord.
You're so gracious, so compassionate, so kind. Where would we be without you on our side? We shudder to think. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.